Good morning, and thanks for tuning in to The Way That Leads to Life. I'm Steve Klein. It's great to have you listening to our program today. Hope that your day is getting off to a good start. Perhaps you're thinking about getting out and worshiping God today. We'd love for you to do that with us at the Eastside Church of Christ. We meet at 110 French Way in Athens, Alabama. Meet at 9 o'clock this morning for Bible study, and then for a worship assembly where we'll be singing praises to God, praying prayers to Him, encouraging one another in our faith. Come out and be with us if you possibly can be. We'd love to have you. If you can't join us in the assembly, check us out online. Our services are live streamed on Facebook. Go to our Facebook page, Eastside Church of Christ in Athens, Alabama, or go to our website, eastside-church.org, eastside-church.org, and you can click on the media tab and the live streaming. But again, come out and be with us if you can, and we'd love to meet you and to study God's Word together. One of the things I've observed in life is that dogs fight. Maybe you've observed that too. And there's just something about it. If you're around dogs very much, every once in a while they're going to get into a fight. Maybe you've had the experience of your own family dog getting into a fight with a neighborhood dog. Don't know what about it there is, but dogs just seem to get into fights. Some people kind of find a perverse pleasure in watching that. I remember a number of years ago, the professional football player Michael Vick was, I think, charged and found guilty of participating in a dog fighting ring. So some people enjoy that. Some people even gamble on it. But most of us get sort of an uneasy and even fearful feeling when we're watching this savage ferocity of these very powerful animals attacking one another. Our anxiety, I think, would be even greater if we were in the middle of that dog fight. That's happened at times where a person gets in between dogs that are trying to fight, and the person gets hurt more than either of the dogs do. So none of that is, something that anybody wants to be a part of or have to experience in their lives. The spectacle of a ferocious dog fight is so unnerving, and it's graphic, that it was used by the Lord to depict those who would crucify Christ. It's sort of interesting. Back in the Psalms, in Psalm 22 and verse 16, there's a prophecy concerning the crucifixion of Christ. Actually, Psalm 22 says a number of things about the crucifixion of the Messiah. And one of those prophecies is found in Psalm 22 and verse 16, where the text says that dogs have surrounded me, the congregation of the wicked has enclosed me, they pierced my hands and feet. So the scriptures in prophecy depict the very crucifixion of Christ as a situation where dogs had surrounded him. It was very cruel. It was very ferocious. It was awful to behold. And that's the sort of metaphoric language that the scriptures are using. The Apostle Paul uses a similar figure of speech to warn Christians to beware of spiritual carnage that can be caused by false teachers. As he writes to the Philippians, he's concerned that the Philippians might have their faith threatened by false teachers who would tell them that, they wanted to overlay Judaism on top of Christianity, that in order to be a good Christian, you had to be a good Jew first. And so Paul is warning them about that, as he does elsewhere in Scripture. But in Philippians 3 and verse 2, he says, "Beware of dogs, beware of evildoers, beware of the mutilation." And so you have those figures of speech in Scripture where the idea of a dog fight or a dog attack is something that you would rightfully be afraid of. But there's a dog fight that goes on all the time, so to speak, within each one of us. A struggle between good and evil, a struggle between light and darkness, where two very powerful forces are at war in our inner man. I think probably most of us, if we think about it, we realize that that's going on. You have within you somewhere a good side, a side that leans to wanting to do things that are pure and true and right and altruistic, and you have a side in you that is selfish and seeks pleasure and follows its lusts and all of that sort of thing, that might be cruel to others, that is self-centered. So, those two different aspects are within all of us struggle against one another. And the Bible talks about that in in no uncertain terms. The Apostle Paul experienced this, what we might call the dogfight within, the struggle between flesh and spirit and between light and darkness. And he depicts it as really an intolerable struggle that just leaves a person in a wretched condition. I'm going to the book of Romans in chapter 7, and Paul talks about that problem, about that issue. He says in verse 15, he says, What I am doing, I do not understand. For what I will to do, I do not practice, but what I hate, that I do. How many of us have been there? We want to do good, we're trying to do good, and we wind up doing something that's the opposite of what we are wanting to do. Paul says he does not do what he wills, but he does what he hates. And when we do that, of course, we kind of wind up hating ourselves because we just can't seem to do the right that we want to do. And so Paul gives the reason for that. There are two sides within him, as we've already discussed, but Paul describes that in chapter 7. He says in verse 18, he says, I know that in me, that is in my flesh, nothing good dwells. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that what is good, I do not find. So he's got these two sides. He has a will to do good. He talks about that. He's got that. But he doesn't seem to be able to find how to do what that will wants to do. He has also in him the flesh, in his flesh, and that's the bad side of him, if you will, the side that is tied to earthly things and fleshly desires. And it just seems like that side is always giving him grief and making it difficult, at times impossible, it seems to him, to do the things that his good side wants to do. So this his inward self that is good, his spiritual side, actually delights in the law of God. It wants to do what God wants him to do. And so he says that in verse 22. He says, I delight in the law of God according to the inward man. So he has this inward side of him that has a spiritual bent, a good bent, if you will, and he delights in that. That's something that makes him happy, if you will, makes him feel good about himself. He delights in that, but the good that he wants to do, he doesn't do. Now, the evil that he does not want to do, that's what he does. He says in verse 19, the good that I will to do, I do not do, but the evil I will not to do, that I practice. It's kind of like the predicament I heard about of an old farmer who had a mule that just did not want to cooperate. I've not been around mules much. My father had one that he talked about from time to time. But this old farmer had a mule that didn't want to cooperate with him. And finally, a neighbor walked by and said to this farmer, he said, well, Sam, where's your willpower? Don't you have enough willpower to move that mule? And the farmer replied, my willpower is all right, but you ought to come here and see this animal's won't power. And that's kind of how it is within us. We've got a side that wants to do good, and we're really trying to do good. And yet there's this part of us that really doesn't want to do good. And it just seems like we can't get control of that animal. We can't, get it to do what we want it to do or not do what we don't want it to do. And so there's this warfare within us between these two sides. And as Paul concludes it, and I'm not looking necessarily at everything he's saying here, but I just want to get this idea in our minds that he's definitely presenting to us. As Paul goes on and describes it, this warfare between these two sides, he says, again, I delight in the law of God according to the inward man. That's verse 22 of Romans 7. But he says, I see another law in my members warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. So this war is going on within Paul. And again, if we're spiritually conscious at all, we recognize that war is going on within us. We have those two sides within us. And it's a wretched feeling. It is the part of our inward selves, perhaps, that makes us unhappy, so unhappy, more unhappy than anything else, perhaps, associated with our human existence. Paul sees that. The Bible understands that. In fact, Paul says in verse 24, as he concludes this discussion, you know, of this warfare within him, he says, "O wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death?" He describes himself in this condition with this war within and no one winning, seemingly, but the struggle just going on and on. He says, I'm a wretched man. It's just a horrible kind of existence. This struggle within is not something that, you know, the Apostle Paul just invented. It's something that humankind has been dealing with since the beginning of humankind, since the first sin in the garden, I imagine. It's been described in other cultures. A number of other cultures worldwide have this concept of this, these two sides within us. A number of different world religions, you know, have this concept of these two different sides within man. Even, you know, modern psychologists and psychiatrists have some idea of these struggles within us. So it's not something that's unique to the Bible to describe this. And again, if you're a participator in the human condition, as surely everyone who is listening today is, that is something that we can relate to. There's a Greek by the name of Xenophon. He predates the time of Christ, and he writes about it. He's talking about a particular individual who, in order to excuse his very treasonous and evil ways, said this. He said, "Certainly I must have two souls, for plainly it is not one and the same which is both evil and good, and at the same time wishes to do a thing and not to do it. Plainly, then, there are two souls, and when the good one prevails, then it does good. When the evil one predominates, then it does evil." And that's not Bible, and that's not necessarily a accurate description, but you get the idea. Even in ancient Greek culture, before the time of Christ, there were people who were looking at, you know, what goes on inside human beings, and they were recognizing this same problem. They were experiencing this same problem. In our Native American culture, the story is told among one of the Native American cultures in America that a young man was about to leave his village and make his way on his own as a man. And his father warned him that as he lived his life, there would be two wolves, one black and one white, always striving within him. And the young man said that this would be intolerable. Well, that's exactly what Paul says, you know, right? I've got this black wolf and this white wolf, and they're fighting within me all the time, and I'm a wretched man. And so this is recognized, you know, by people everywhere. The great thing is, of course, that the Bible offers a solution to that. This description that Paul gives us in Romans 7 that, you know, the Greek philosophers knew about, that our Native American culture knows about, that's known worldwide and dealt with and pondered worldwide, and people try to come up with ways to overcome it in every culture, it seems. The Bible describes in Galatians chapter 5 and verse 17, where Paul there writes that the flesh lusts against the spirit and the spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. You're not the person that you want to be because you have these two struggling within you. And there are those maybe with great effort that can find some modicum of peace in their lives and make peace between these two sides. And sometimes if they just come to that on their own, normally it involves, you know, searing a part of their conscience or just making compromises one side with the other until finally there's some kind of peace there. But what's the real solution to it? I want to say to you this morning that if you are aware of what I'm talking about, and I think most everybody really is, that the Bible gives us the solution to this very troubling problem that humanity deals with. What do we do about this struggle within us between good and evil? What can be done to resolve the problem and live a life that is good, that is pleasing not only to us, not only peaceful within, but also makes peace between us and God, that is pleasing to God? Paul tells us that the victory can be found in Christ. In fact, he ends Romans chapter 7, the very next verse in Scripture, of course, as Romans chapter 8 begins. The Apostle Paul says, "There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. And what Paul describes there is a situation where someone has found the solution. And the flesh and the spirit that had been fighting with one another, he's found the solution to that because he's walking not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. And that's a consistent walk in his life. And Paul says there's no condemnation to that person. But what's the key there? What's the key phrase in that verse? There is no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. There's the key. In the book of Romans, you may be aware, if you're familiar with it, that Paul has already talked about what to do to get into Christ Jesus. One must have faith. One must have faith in Christ. And upon that faith, one must be baptized into Christ. In fact, he says, just going a couple chapters earlier in Romans chapter 6, do you not know, in verse 3, do you not know, Romans 6, 3, that as many as of us as were baptized into Christ were baptized into his death? How do you get in Christ? There is no condemnation to those that are in Christ. You can walk according to the Spirit, not according to the flesh, if you're in Christ. You can have peace within in Christ. How do you get into Christ? Well, Paul has already said, already told the Romans how to get into Christ. You're baptized into Christ. It's interesting, there are only two verses in all of Scripture that have that phrase, into Christ, in them. How to get into Christ. There are a lot of verses that talk about being in Christ. But those two words, into Christ or into Christ Jesus, they're only found in two verses. One is the one I just read in Romans chapter 6 and verse 3. And the other one is in Galatians chapter 3 and verse 27. As many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. Those are the two books of the New Testament that talk about this struggle within, the flesh versus the spirit. Those are the two books that talk about that, and they both give the same solution to that warfare within us. And the solution is to be in Christ. And the solution is to be in Christ by being baptized into Christ. That's where we put on Christ. That's where we form this relationship with Him. And if we are in Him, there is no condemnation. Once that choice has been made, it doesn't necessarily mean that, you know, every struggle within you is completely finished. That's not what Paul's saying at all. But what he is saying is you have a way to gain the victory. You have a way to have peace once you're in Christ. There are several aspects of this that Paul goes on and talks about in Romans 8 as his discussion there continues. And I want to point some of those out to you. One of the things that we need to understand is we choose who we set our minds on. We can choose which part of us within, the flesh or the spirit, you know, the white wolf or the black wolf. We can choose which we want to set our minds on, which we want to think about. Now, Paul's clear about that. And once we're in Christ, it suddenly becomes much clearer which one we want to set our minds on. And so Paul writes about it in this way in Romans chapter 8 and verse 5. He says that those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the thing of the flesh. Things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be fleshly minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. You get that? How can we have this peace within? The key facet of it is to set your mind on things that are spiritual, to be spiritually minded. That's life and peace. He goes on to say, the carnal mind, the fleshly mind, is enmity against God. Now, enmity is hostility. So when we're in the flesh, when we're letting that side of us win, and when we set our minds on that side, we're at being hostile toward God. We can't have peace with Him, and we won't have peace within ourselves. The carnal mind is enmity against God. It is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can it be. So when you follow that fleshly side, when you set your mind on that fleshly side, we should say, that's where you're going in your head, you're going to be at odds with God and at odds within yourself. But he goes on to say that those who are in the flesh cannot please God. But if you're a Christian, verse 9, he says, you're not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. If anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he's not his. But if Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. And what he's saying there is, you've got your mind in the right place once you're in Christ. If you're in Christ and he's in you, you finally have your mind in the right place. That's where our minds need to be. And the reason our minds can be in the right place is because of what Christ has done for us. He goes on in the next two verses in Romans chapter 8, and I'm now in verse 11. He says, if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die, but if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. What Paul's talking about there is the work of Jesus Christ in coming to this world, dying for our sins, being raised, and living forever so that we can have life. What he's saying really to us is that this is what gives us the motivation to choose the Spirit, the motivation to put our minds on the Spirit and not on the fleshly side that is within us. I read a story some time ago about a school janitor that posted a sign in front of the schoolyard, and it just read, keep off the grass. You've probably seen those, right? It seems like a lot of schools, they have nice grass. They don't want the kids trampling that and making it look ugly. So you put the sign, keep off the grass. But at this school, as is often the case, the children still ran on the grass and they trampled down the turf. So the teacher in the fourth grade class had an idea. She decided that each child would be given a flower bulb to plant along the edge of the sidewalk in the fall. And those bulbs would sprout in the early spring. Well, as winter came to a close, the children had planted all of these bulbs right along the sidewalk. Sure enough, the flowers came up and the flowers began to bloom. But also the grass grew and became green everywhere because the children had not been walking on the grass because they didn't want to destroy their flowers. And so it is, it's amazing what we can do to make our lives beautiful if we have the right motivation. And what Jesus has done for us is he's given the motivation to choose the Spirit. When Christ came and died for you and me, he made this amazing sacrifice. We were so unworthy and we were so wretched. And yet he came, loved us, and died for us to pay the price for our sins. And after he's done that for us, we would do anything for him. And we choose the Spirit because of the great love that we have for Christ. That's what Paul is saying. That once you're in Christ and you're experiencing his full forgiveness, the power of his crucifixion in your life, the power of his love in your life, that you will choose the Spirit side of you, and that the war within will come to a close, that you'll be able to live a life of peace, not that you're above temptation, not that you'll never struggle, but your life will be characterized by peace, peace within, peace with yourself, and peace with God. Because Christ has forgiven you of your sins, because Christ loves you, and you love him back. And so you have this motivation, this great motivation, to choose the Spirit. That's what we see in this text. We then allow ourselves to be led by the Spirit in accordance with the Word. Paul will say to us in Romans chapter 8 and verse 14, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. We're truly children of God as the Spirit of God leads our lives. And of course, the way that he does that is that the Spirit is the one who has revealed God's word to us. We have that for us in Scripture. The Scriptures, the New Testament particularly, give us guidance as to how to live life in Christ. That's what they're all about, who Christ is, what he's done, but also how to live life in him. All of the epistles give us guidance into that. And that's why we study our Bibles, because we want to be led by the Spirit. We want to get that information within us, and then we choose to walk by that information. You see, the information that we call the gospel, God's power to salvation, the Word of God. All of this is what the Spirit has given to us. So when we follow that, we are led by the Spirit. We have motivation and we have direction. We have the ability to choose that good side that is within us. Who's going to win the struggle within you? Well, if you're in Christ, it can be that good side. It can be the spiritual side. Who's going to win? It's going to be the one that you choose to set your mind on. It's going to be the one that you follow after. The one you follow after. As I said, in the book of Galatians also talks about this struggle within in very plain terms. And let's go over there for a little bit. And if you have your Bibles and you're at home, you might look at Galatians chapter 5, as I'm going to be reading in verses 16 and 17. And there Paul says, I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. See, the battle will be won if you'll just walk in the Spirit. The flesh lusts against the Spirit against the flesh. These are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. That's what we've been talking about. But he said, if you walk in the Spirit, you won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. In Galatians chapter 5 and verse 24, those who are Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live in the Spirit, let us walk in the Spirit. So we're living in the Spirit in Christ, and that part of us that was fleshly, that was bad, that was carnal, that lived in pleasure, that lived in its own lust, that lived in selfishness, that part was crucified at the cross when we were baptized into Christ for the remission of our sins. We came in contact with His dying on the cross. We were baptized into His death. In fact, Paul says there in Romans chapter 6. And Paul will say later in this same book, the book of Galatians, chapter 6 and verse 8, that he who sows to his flesh will of the flesh reap corruption. If you're living a life of pleasure, of following your lust, your own desires, your own selfish ends, if you sow to your flesh, you're of the flesh, you're going to reap corruption. One thing about the flesh is it all rots. It's all corruptible. But if we live in the Spirit, it's going to be different. If we sow to the Spirit, will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. That's Galatians 6 and verse 8. So who's going to win the struggle within? It's going to be the one that we feed. In Romans chapter 13, the Apostle Paul says, the night is far spent, the day is at hand. Therefore, let us cast off the works of darkness. Let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk properly as in the day, not in revelry and drunkenness, not in lewdness and lust, not in strife and envy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill its lust. Don't feed the flesh. That's what Paul is saying. Don't feed the flesh if you're in Christ. There are two forces at war within us, my friends. Good and evil. Flesh and spirit. A black wolf and a white wolf. Which wolf are you feeding? Which wolf is your mind on? Are you in Christ? Do you have the motivation through His blood to walk in the Spirit? Thank you for tuning in to The Way That Leads to Life today. Study God's Word. Learn what He wants you to do to be saved. Walk in the Spirit. Be at peace within.